Sweet Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that loves undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back. All right, top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, February 22nd, 2023. We're on the phones, Brian in Washington. Well, gosh, I was going to run down the headlines a little bit.
I'll be quick.
Didn't do it. We're chatting. You mentioned the East Palestine, Ohio train derailment, and I haven't talked about that yet, by the way, and the reason is because there are a number of, I don't know, people have, a number of theories that have been asserted, and this is one of those moments where, you know, if you look at the Wikipedia entry for that, for example, there is the mainstream press is trying to get out in front of. Well, this bit here, there's a section titled Misinformation. It says the derailment sparked, this is the Wikipedia entry, derailment sparked the spread of circulation of misinformation, fake news, and conspiracy theories. And these are all red herrings. I mean, this is straw man theater, but it says some of the most frequent repeated claims, most of which were heavy exaggerations of the derailment and events surrounding it, include allegations that, and then there's a bullet list of four bullets, the train cars had exploded as opposed to a controlled burn with crews or police responsible. The government had a lockdown, East Palestine. Local residents who had been evacuated or left were ordered not to return. And last but not least, the destruction and contamination resulting from the derailment were on the scale of the Chernobyl disaster. And then it says some commentators alleged that concurrently reported high altitude object events were being overemphasized or even faked as a red herring to distract the public from the derailment cover up entirely. And then there's, you know, the Nord Stream deal and Epstein's client list that are mentioned. So, you know, it's interesting that, I mean, this is not, you know, we are not even 3 weeks removed, about 2.5 weeks removed, and there's an entire section, it's a pretty lengthy section titled Misinformation with a number of footnotes, like, you know, a couple dozen footnotes, basically. So that leads me to believe that there's something very premeditated about this, to your point, but it's something that is not being widely discussed. And I, you know, well, again, a number of folks have posited things, but nothing seems to fit, in my opinion, yet. So I'm listening, but nothing sounds like it fits, in my opinion, yet. But, you know, I mean, obviously, you mentioned, you alluded to the film White Noise, which is based on Don DeLillo's 1985 novel. And, you know, it's Netflix is the new Simpsons, apparently, because we had all of the documentaries, including the series, the pandemic series, before the COVID nonsense. And, you know, Netflix has done it again. Why did they produce White Noise? And, you know, how is it that everybody interviewed Ben Ratner, whose family were extras on the film, and, you know, it was filmed in the same neighborhood, basically. That's an unlikely series of coincidences.
So, I guess if I just said that there is a article, consortiumnews.com, rail workers urge nationalization amid Ohio disaster, February 18th, 2023. I'm just going to read a little bit. An alliance representing rail workers across the United States has published an open letter urging all of organized labor to support the nationalization of the country's railroad system, urging that the private and inadequately regulated industry has, quote, shown itself incapable of doing the job. In face of the deregulation of the rail system in the last decade, and after more than a decade of discussion and debate on the question, Rail Workers United, RWU, has taken a position in support of public ownership of the rail system in the United States. So, you know, you and I know that Weyerhaeuser Timber Company was given every other square mile for building a railroad for the City of London as incentive. That's why these railways exist. And, yeah, as to the predicted programming, how are they trying to bring about a new form of global governance? Well, I think we're going to return to the 1963 Ken Kesey book about logging in Oregon. And in the introduction, it says, we never claimed, he wrote years after Sometimes a Great Notion. So this is Ken Kesey speaking, quote, to know precisely when the birth of the new consciousness would take place or what assortment of potions might be required to initiate contractions, but as to the birthplace, we had always taken it for granted that the shining nativity would happen here, out of the ache of American labor. So my initial comments on your broadcast today is, you know, people were killed along I-5 corridor in Washington State in the 1900s. These wobblies were, you know, uprising and trying to create a workers of the world commie state, and it didn't work out. So here's Ken Kesey in 1963. You probably have to smoke a lot of cannabis and pretend you're back in 63, Chris, but this consciousness is still present. If you know who Derek Brose is, he's conscious blah blah, and Jordan Peterson. So yeah, this is all coming around, and my reason for calling is simply, what are we going to, can we put two and two together on this? Oh, we've had this false flag event, now what are we going to do about it? Well, surely the workers of the world will need to be introduced to problem, reaction, solution, solve the problem. End of rant.
Well, so is your, I mean, is it a question, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah, RBN, Chris Hinckley, 5 days a week for 2 hours. Maybe this is a dilemma we need to get to the bottom of. Is it going to be one great big kibbutz, or are we going to operate independently, free of the tentacles of the communitarian nightmare? That,
well,
that I think,
you know,
is the dilemma.
So it's interesting You know, I mentioned James Corbett's episode 297, speaking of China and ESG stuff. He doesn't mention ESG in that. It was 2014. But, you know, he says maybe they're trying to merge. I mean, I think of the words of Congressman Larry McDonald and was it the forward to the Rockefeller file, I want to say, where he said, you know, do I mean – you know, he said, I'm talking about the merger of communism and super capitalism under the same umbrella. Do I mean conspiracy? Yes, I do. You know, the Rockefeller contingent. And so James is sort of speaking to that, and he says, you know, are they trying to merge these things and create, you know, a hybrid system? And yeah, I mean, it's called communitarianism. And the reason I say that is because he says, you know, merging these and he said that involves a merger of capitalist and socialist systems into a system that basically contains the worst of both worlds. Exactly. That is communitarianism. And it's not just those two systems, but, you know, it's the worst of everything. And so that's kind of ironic. Nikki Rapana obviously encouraged us to think and live outside the dialectic. And so that's kind of why when it comes to the, you know, this kind of stuff, the train derailment, I mean, why are we so focused on it? The article that you mentioned was Rail Workers Urge Nationalization Amid Ohio Disaster. Was that it? That's
I'm
the title
sorry.
Of it?
I think I moved on.
Okay.
Consortiumnews.com.
Right. Title of the article, though, is... Right. Rail Workers Urge Nationalization Amid Ohio Disaster. Is that the one?
Roger that.
So it was from Common Dreams, actually, originally. So, you know, this has obviously received a lot of coverage. I didn't talk about the balloons because I didn't think they were – I mean, it's just – I mean, it's absurd. The whole scenario about the balloons is absurd. Cy Hirsch's story about Nord Stream, you know, we – again, to re-emphasize the point that Lark made all those years ago to me, this is going on 10 years ago now. I think it was 2013. When he said, if we're just echoing, if we're an echo chamber for the mainstream media, then that's prostitution, essentially. These are my words, but that's not a healthy and productive endeavor. And as much as we feel compelled, like if you do a broadcast, you know, you feel compelled to speak to the talking points of the day, so to speak, but who sets those? And why? And did the Mockingbird Press ever go away? Did the mighty Wurlitzer ever get, you know, put into retirement or out to pasture? I don't think so. So I think we need to be careful with these kinds of things. And that's why when it comes to, I don't know, the Nord Stream story, for example, I think that as good as Cy Hirsch's reporting may be, first of all, how has he managed to stay alive all these decades? But second of all, it's ultimately, I would say, misdirection, because who benefits is the same green economy folks who are betting everything on killing the Bretton Woods old Marshall Plan and bringing online the new Bretton Woods, new Marshall Plan. They're betting everything on that. And it's not American-based anymore. And that's the conversation. And the same folks that James Corbett is talking about in episode 297, China and the New World Order, and, you know, I mean, the same interest that Vivek is talking about, and on and on, you know, there is this, I forget how James put it, a high concentration or I forget, you know, a very, very small coterie of folks, I would say. And if you listen to Whitney Webb, who has done a massive amount of research going down the rabbit hole on the Epstein stuff, who says, I think the sex trafficking, as important as that is, it really ultimately works. It functions as a limited hangout, a modified limited hangout, because we miss the larger financial aspect. And that's huge to me. I mean, that gets back to the Ezekiel 28, Revelation 18 stuff that I'm talking about, the back to Genesis 11 stuff. And so those pieces seem to fit together. So what do we do? In my humble estimation, I really think that I start by leaving the marching orders to the Holy Spirit. And if we all follow that directive, then we're getting communique, each one of us, from outside of this, you know, dialectical milieu. And, you know, that was what was going on in Acts chapter 2. It seemed to be working pretty well there and other places. That's where my mind starts. And then beyond that, you know, the hard part is, I mean, we know that, you know, we are at war. You know it. I know it. Folks who listen to this network know it. And it's very deceptive because it is waged in panopticon sort of fashion. You don't know who exactly is watching and how and what, but we know that everything's listening. What was the article that I read the other day about that? The guy that was looking for a friend. You know, there are so many examples. All of us have probably experienced a thing where you talk about something, the next day you get emails or social media things. This guy, I can't remember the article, I saw it recently, but he said, I was thinking of a friend. Somebody, I think as the story goes, one friend of his, or maybe it was his brother actually, who said, I need some advice on a thing. And he goes, I know just the guy, but he had lost this friend's contact information. Went to college with him and hadn't been in touch with him for, I don't know, more than a decade or something. This guy was off Facebook or something, hadn't really been on it for a long time. So he mentions this guy to his brother, and the next thing you know, the next day Facebook had found this guy and sent him an email and said, you know, people you might know. So that he hadn't been in touch with for 10 years and didn't, you know, and it was more than that. He said, you know, there was something about social media accounts that he had on his phone that were connected by different phone numbers and stuff. It was a very, very strange and unlikely connection that Facebook made. So we know we're being listened to. We don't know exactly who or how. But you know, that makes it extremely difficult to assemble. You know, we know that every time we see some kind of strategy of tension episode, there are more agents on the payroll there and assets than there are, you know, people, whether it's the Malheur deal or the Whitmer kidnapping nonsense or January 6th or whatever. There's always more, you know, operatives making sure that everyone hits their mark than there are not. So it makes it difficult for us all to assemble and think that we're accomplishing anything useful and productive when everything is infiltrated and co-opted and conscripted in COINTELPRO sort of fashion, I would say. Which is why I think leaving all of that to the Holy Spirit, in my opinion, may seem like a cop-out to some people, but I don't think so. I think quite the contrary. That's where I start. And then, you know, from there, I think that there are some interesting things happening. You know, speaking of Washington, I mean, the things that Vivek has said, I think cut right to the heart of the issue. I mentioned the positive news of the Spokane County Sheriffs. We should play that video. I mentioned it last Friday. We still haven't played it. There's some other encouraging stuff. What can we do? I have an idea. I'll mention it when we come back. Stick around.
To Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting, and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3, for details.
The first Oath Keepers trial over January 6 is over. What happened? I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute, brought to you by Dr. Zelenko's Z-Stack. Use code LIGHTHOUSE at ZStackLife.com to supercharge your immune system this cold and flu season. I have been following the plight of disabled American veteran Kenneth Harrelson for several months now. Harrelson was arrested in March of 2021 for his part on January 6th. The VA cut off his benefits 3 months ago at the urging of the Biden Justice Department, a month before Harrelson even went to trial. After spending 630 days in a DC jail under COVID lockdowns the entire time, the verdict is in. Harrelson was convicted on 3 of the 6 charges against him, but acquitted of the seditious conspiracy charge that the Justice Department cited to the VA as the reason for cutting his benefits. Angel Harrelson has not had her husband's income for 3 months. She has not seen her husband face-to-face since he was arrested over 630 days ago. Harrelson was denied bail and visitation. And now, the District of Columbia has filed a civil suit against Harrelson and others. Please help Angel Harrelson by donating at givesendgo.com/G22ZH. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
What is to be done, dear comrades? What is to be done? Facetiously, euphemistically paraphrasing the question. A couple of things I would say. Practically speaking, what do we do? You know, Nikki Rapana's admonition to live outside the dialectic is, I think, cannot be overstated. And that's the challenge, not getting sucked into, you know, this conflict paradigm where, you know, the scripted talking points are fed to us and you choose, you know, the left side or the right side of the cattle chute. But I think, you know, part of the reason that I've sort of touched on the chaos magic stuff recently and the beliefs is because harping on the problem feeds into that chaos magic of alchemical transformation, and that's what's happening. So to step back from the echo chamber and to start to live by the courage of our convictions, you know, that you know, all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their, you know, the self-evident truths, so to speak, that we, I mean, we still have our founding documents, even though they're not being followed at all. It's a joke. We still have them. You know, all men are created equal. They are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And, you know, again, there was a Spokane County Sheriff's Department video that, it's 2.5 minutes long. I want to play it. I think we'll play it today. Earning the February 9 Senate Law and Justice hearing on SB 5232 in Washington. And Spokane County Sheriff Knowles recorded a video in defense of the Second Amendment, and the Spokane County Sheriff's Office posted comments to people. There was one in particular, you know, somebody said, well, I don't want to, I'll save that. But to live by the courage of our convictions, that's a big deal. And to do that, we have to know what those convictions are, what is worth dying for. Not in an offensive, aggressive, you know, not in a provocateur sort of fashion, but what is the line that we will say, this line will not be crossed? Is there a line? Bad guys want to get rid of it. The nihilists have been unleashed, as Pike said. That's what we're facing. But to live by the courage of those convictions, are we motivated by greed and laziness, because we really have been seduced into Gary Larson's boneless chicken ranch in America, and the Bernaysian contingent believes without question that we will sacrifice everything in the name of convenience. I think greed factors in too. So, you know, if you have a 401k plan or some kind of retirement plan where you have funds, you know, at one of these big places, you know, the Black Rocks, the Blackstones, the Vanguards, etc. I think it's a perfect opportunity. Speaking of Vivek, it's a great opportunity for somebody like him to start a fund where people can say, I don't want to be in these companies that rob from America and invest in China under the specious guise of ESG. And we should be divesting ourselves individually from the Kellogg's and the Allstate and the General Mills and the MetLife's and the State Farms and the Unilever's. And, you know, on and on the list goes. We played the clip of Glenn Beck and what's his name, you know, talking about how ESG touches everything. If we understand what's going on, then this is not just a matter of inconvenience and we won't be able to buy. So, I mean, this is the panopticon in full effect. And it's, you know, we still might have a moment to get out in front. Maybe, maybe not. But that's, I would say, a practical suggestion. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Welcome back. All right. So, you know, hopefully some of that makes sense. You know, just to recap my advice, get out of the chaos magic of the, you know, the alchemical chaos magic of the dialectical conflict paradigm, wind tunnel, basically. Start learning and focusing on what is right. Philippians 4:10-13 is a, and then, you know, backing up, obviously, Philippians 4:7, 4:8, that kind of stuff. That's good advice, because there is, you know, there's a reality to the chaos magic that's being waged and the alchemical transformation that is being accomplished by having us. I mean, it's one of the things that I think gets touched on a fairly regular basis. You know, the fear mongering has a very adverse and deleterious effect on our physiology, on our psychology. You know, it's just not good. And how many of us are really taking time on a regular basis to invest ourselves as much in the things that are right and our, let's say, founding tenets or principles? Principles is, you know, that's a troubling subject all by itself, because, again, speaking of the deists from yesterday, which God are we talking about? And God we trust. Okay, let's define terms. Which God are we talking about? Anyway, let's just say, you know, that's kind of a step one. Get out of the alchemical chaos magic of dialectical conflict thought and start learning and focusing on what is right. And live by the courage of our convictions, easier said than done, while we're living on Gary Larson's boneless chicken ranch of limitless convenience. And then, you know, put your money where your mouth is. I mean, it's time for hard choices. And this includes, you know what, maybe Junior Asparagus doesn't go to university. Maybe that's not a good idea. You only get invited to be a Rhodes Scholar or a... attend the London School of Economics if you are a toady. It's pretty obvious to look at the ESG stuff. I don't think there are many people in America who would say, genuinely in middle America that would say, that's fantastic. That sounds like a great idea. Slavery for all of us, except, you know, who sits on the board of these companies or who pulls the strings at BlackRock. So you can find the lists all over, and the lists of the ESG companies should serve as, in my mind, the Streisand effect. My goodness, really? Microsoft's at the top of some of the lists, the wokest company. That's fantastic. Immediately find a way to extricate ourselves. And, you know, the Googles and the list is incredible. List of these companies. And then from there, what they touch is staggering. We should probably play that clip from Glenn Beck's deal again, talking about how the reach of ESG works. It is not in full effect yet. But, you know, if we divest ourselves of all of these companies, what does that mean? It means inconvenience. It means probably not attending the schools where young people's minds are being infected with this suicidal mindset, self-destruction, country destruction, you know, etc. Hard choices. You listen to what people are saying about ESG and the fascist, neo-fascist nature of it. It sounds, and all of the, you know, the hobgoblin stuff, it sounds a lot like Milton Mayer's They Thought They Were Free. But then it was too late. What no one seemed to notice, said a colleague of mine, was that the ever-widening gap after 1933 between the government and the people became ever wider. What happened here was a gradual habituation of the people, little by little, to being governed by surprise, to receiving decisions deliberated in secret, to believing that the situation was so complicated that the government had to act on information which the people could not understand, or so dangerous that even if the people could not understand it, it could not be released because of national security. who was it that said there's an article on RBN, I'll think of it in a minute, that has a quote by Glenn Greenwald, I think, along these same lines. And what is happening to the, you know, I mean, if we can trust that some of these folks are actually journalists, there is this, you know, the coal mine canaries are screaming. A retreat away from the mechanism. Where is Glenn Greenwald these days? Where is Whitney Webb? Where are these people? Nestled safely and comfortably in their homes here in America? What is happening? So, you know, and then lastly, a final reminder, Solzhenitsyn tells us in the Gulag Archipelago, you know, how we burn in the camps later thinking, what would things have been like if we did not love freedom enough? And even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterward. That's what he said. So to understand this with sober mind, you know, soberness of mind or sober-mindedness, and then, you know, if you're going to live that way, brace for impact, because there will be impact. It is a bad guy buzz term, after all. But if we don't get out in front of it, then it will roll right over the top of us. And that is the, you know, we played clips of Harari saying that recently. The probabilists know that if they can spy on your brain enough, spy on your algorithms, your thoughts and impulses and behavior, and maybe shape some of it, well, then we can determine the outcome in advance. So maybe we don't give them as much data. Maybe we divest ourselves from our own enslavement and suiciding. And, you know, it's astonishing. I mentioned, last thing I'll say about this, I referred to in saying, you know, did you know earlier about the situation concerning John McAfee's remains and, you know, his wife still, you know, the autopsy and his body being released. She's still waiting on that. I mentioned the cloak phone. It was interesting when that was being discussed about 5 years ago, 2018 or so, and the stories were coming out. There was very, almost no coverage about John McAfee's privacy phone, I think it was referred to as originally, and then it was called the cloak phone. There are folks who are saying, well, you know, people don't want that. They want convenience, and they'll sacrifice privacy and security for convenience. And I was thinking, where in the marketplace is there a choice? You can't even find a Faraday cage case for your phone. It's almost impossible. You certainly can't walk into the Verizon store or the T-Mobile store and get one. Why? And, you know, it's a rhetorical question, obviously. The data is what's valuable. So the cloak phone, who knows? Maybe that's what got him killed as much as anything. But he said that he had left. Anyway, there is no choice. And you would think with guys like Vivek Ramaswamy saying what he's saying, there is a large contingent of middle America, that many of whom have recently been vaccine injured but are told that's not the case. You're probably faking it. You know, Jimmy Dore was not anti-vax. He was doing what we were being told to do, and got his COVID vaccination, was vaccine injured, and then vilified for just saying, hey, just so everybody knows. I think there are millions, tens of millions of people, and many more beyond our shores, who want this. And when you start thinking like that, I think things can change. I think, you know, the chaos magic has us seduced into believing that we have to go along with this stuff. But, you know, if we start thinking outside the dialectic and we realize that, I don't know, maybe we can grow fuel to run cars, or maybe, you know, Maybe you have an oil field in your own backyard and it's not fossil fuels, as Fletcher Prouty reminded us. Just, you know, not saying that's a thing or a direction, but just to change the hypnotic, trance-like, you know, magnetism of herdthink. Well, we can't do that because why can't we? Auto manufacturers have committed already to the nonsense. We're hearing the ads, you know, they're going all electric by such and such date. What if people don't participate? But you got to be ready. You got to brace for impact because there will be impact. History tells us. And the devil is betting it all on this, and we're all supposed to go along. Whoever remains after the mass culling is, you know, we lost the Georgia Guidestones, but many people still remember that number, 500 million. It's interesting what's been happening recently and how we're being led to believe it. It's not happening. What's the, well, anyway, enough on that. To the phones, back to the phones. Brian, you're gone. Jenna, you're there, right? Or is Brian back now?
Brian is still gone. Yeah, it's okay. Me, Jenna. Hi. Well, I'm continuing with Brian's thread because we've both been paying attention to other pieces of news. I first wanted to define in my terms, I think that the pursuit of happiness applies to one's own physical agility and productivity. And when that is being obstructed, you're not able to pursue your own happiness, which we all have this God-given gift to pursue. So I wanted to first say that. But in terms of responding to our environment, there are other people, you know, in other countries now sharing their perception. And I wanted to just mention two more Canadians. The first being Amazing Polly. She listened to Jordan Peterson February 3rd, the same day of the train wreck. He announced his governing consortium that he was creating to oppose the WEF. And she went into detail, just breaking down what he was really saying. And as far as just an agent of collective, you know, gaining attention, keeping an audience, and then steering them, it's a really good example. And then the other Canadian that we've been listening to is a Fakeologist. And he's continually bringing attention towards communitarianism and interviewing people and bringing subject matter to his independent website. So I guess that would complete our contribution today.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Thanks, Jenna, and thanks, Brian.
Yeah, I will. Thanks.
Back to the phones in the interest of time. David in Wisconsin, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Chris, I just wanted to make a couple of comments about now that the presidential candidates are starting to declare and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Of two things that they, issues they never raise, ever. I've never heard, and I'm old, I'm up in my 70s, I've never ever heard a politician that's campaigning for office ever criticize veterans. And I'm a veteran of two branches of the military service, two departments of the military service. But veterans must be criticized when they go off the rails just as much as anyone else, if we're going to get anything, because that sacred cow has got to go, in my opinion. All right, number one. Now, number two, of no candidate that I've ever heard criticize international law. Now, there may have been times in history when international law could have been considered and acknowledged as wholesome and ironic. I'm not a great student of history comparing that. But at this particular point in time, there is a decision that was made, and it was already made during the latter part of the last century, that the use of nuclear weapons is acceptable if a state or a government, if their existence is threatened. And that is a repugnant opinion based on international law. And at this point in time, this needs to be criticized, carefully looked at and criticized by people that are ambitious and seek office and want to and have a good heart about things and are led by the Holy Spirit. But anyway, Norman Finkelstein in an interview talks about this in the last 10 minutes of it's a YouTube video. In the last 10 minutes or 7 minutes actually, 45 minutes on to 52 minutes and 50 seconds. It's titled Finkelstein, International Law is Crazy. And in this, he describes how over a century ago, what was called the dum-dum bullet. This is just a bullet that came out of a rifle. That was outlawed because of the damage it did.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that last time. You mentioned him in this conversation, yeah.
Well, and also, here's where the dialectic comes from. It's a flim-flam between national law, local law, international law, and therefore, there's never a conclusion, and that always causes more stress, more turmoil, more work for lawyers to conjure up more laws that confuse things even worse. But that law, that decision based on international law, as soon as that is criticized by someone, anyone, that is campaigning for office and says, we have to take a look at this because this is vicious. This is not ironic. This opinion in this court, I think it was in 1996, if I recall. But that is the root of the problem in terms of why there is never a de-escalation with this ongoing argument, this bizarre argument that continues to cause more strife and death and misery. It's easy to understand after digging into this just a little bit that it's all right to use a nuclear weapon to. it's so bizarre, it's beyond belief.
Yeah.
Anyway, put a lot of pressure on the people that have made that decision and get that law repudiated, that opinion, I should say, because obviously they refer to what's called case law before that. But this is where all of these campaigning want to be representatives for people's interests. This is where they all fall down. None of them look at this. None of them have ever. And I've been under, I'm a cold warrior. I go all the way back to the jungle, in the jungle in Vietnam. And secrets were exchanged with me with CIA operatives even way back then about Five Eyes. The very year that Five Eyes was initiated, I was told about it. So I have been trying to get people. And here's another preposterous thing. And I was young once, so I get it. I loved music when I was young. 13,000 views on this Finkelstein International Law is Crazy video. And any one of these popular stars, like 75 million views, things like that on their main hit songs, if younger people start looking at this, because Norman Finkelstein, God bless his heart, did an extraordinary work over the Israel-Palestine conflict. I haven't heard a lot from him lately either. You were saying about, what's happened to Whitney Webb and et cetera. So I haven't heard from him. Maybe he's totally retired or left the country. I haven't heard from him for a long time. I went and listened to one of his lectures once. I'm just very impressed by the man. Anyway, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, David. Much appreciated. As always. Yeah, that goes much deeper, and I'm going to reserve comment. We're going to go back to the phones in the interest of time. So, James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome. Oh, Patrick in Texas, my apology. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, Chris.
Hey, Patrick.
Yeah, a little weak on the signal here. Yeah, that was a very interesting discussion about the international law. You know, that used to be the law of nations, enmity vitae, was basically the base of all law. And that was pretty good, because that was parallel common law. It's pretty good. But it was all distorted. Then right after about 1947-ish, they created, the Jews up in Chicago created their own law system up there, it's not civil law. There's another one right now. I can't think of it, but it was the international law, and that's all been, been codified. The Vatican has signed off on it, and it's nothing more than they just created it. Made it all common to everywhere. Was an international type of law, but it's not. And for example, it's like Attorney General Barr was on the air and he was speaking on TV. He said equity law is unconstitutional. And well, God dang, that's exactly what all the courts are doing in here. And it just goes how corrupt things have been. Like equity law was created by Lord Mansfield. He took common law out of England and he mixed it with Adamsy law. And he created equity law, and it was like Professor Fetzer says, one of the biggest things is they got summary judgment. That's what a judge just basically out of hand makes a decision. Who in the hell? How did that happen? He's the only people that kept it under $20. But, it's very corrupt. You want to get off into all that topic. But, yeah, I understand that. It's very important. Sotomayor is the one that, got the people, I believe it was, into Harvard. They just control the flow. Let me shut up here and let you do what you got to do. Thank you much.
Much appreciated, Patrick. The post that I was thinking of, I said garage sale was the yard sale model earlier, and the post I was thinking of was actually by John and Nisha Whitehead over at the Rutherford Institute. Don't bow down to a dictatorial government. America is a prison disguised as paradise, and that has the Glenn Greenwald quote. Remaining moments. James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Oh, and that's the music. James, parting thought?
Hello?
My apologies, sir.
Oh, I was going to say Marana James Ya, which in Punjabi means my name is James.
Perfect.
I'll get back to you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, James. That'll do it for today's broadcast. This is a sober moment. It always has been, but, this is a sober moment. So, food for thought. Hopefully it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.